Sheep need a shepherd. They're not wild animals who can look after themselves, but are dependent on a shepherd for their protection and care. A sheep left to itself, or who wanders off from its shepherd and gets lost, is a very sorry sight and a very vulnerable animal. The threat of being attacked by wild animals is a constant danger, particularly in Bible times. And before the days that sheep were kept securely in fenced fields, they could wander over the open countryside for miles and easily find themselves lost, maybe stuck on a high ledge or tangled with bushes and thorns. And of course, once a sheep was lost and in danger, it had no way of protecting itself and no sense of how to find its way back to its shepherd. So I say, a sheep needs a shepherd. And when it has a good shepherd, it is utterly happy and content and satisfied in the shepherd's care. And so it's no surprise that the Bible so frequently likens us as people to sheep and the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd. Under his care, we can be happy and content and kept in total safety. And this is the theme of that well-known psalm, Psalm 23, that we read just now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is a psalm that teaches us to trust and depend on the Lord, and so find our happiness and our well-being in him. Its theme can be taken from that first verse and put like this. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I lack for nothing. I am fully satisfied and content in him. And the rest of the psalm goes on to describe this everything that I have because the Lord is my shepherd. Why it is that we can be content and happy in him. And so we will think, verse 2, content because my shepherd cares for me. And then verse 3, content because my shepherd guides me. Verse 4, content because my shepherd protects me. Verse 5, content because my shepherd blesses me. Verse 6, content because my shepherd brings me safely home. And so that's the outline that I'd like to use to look at this psalm this evening. But before we go into its detail, there is one thing that this psalm takes for granted. The very beginning and the very starting point of our contentment in the Good Shepherd. And that is that we can only be content because my shepherd rescues me. It's the only reason we can say in the first place that the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But thankfully, we hear the Lord Jesus say in John 10 and verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so unless we realize that naturally we are like lost sheep, far from God, far from where we should be, and unless we bleat and cry out for the good shepherd to come and rescue us, then we cannot say that the Lord is my shepherd. And far from being content, far from knowing happiness, far from being able to say, I shall not want, we have the greatest of our needs still not yet met. Lost sheep cannot know the shepherding care of the Lord until they can say from personal experience, my shepherd rescues me. But as rescued sheep, you can find your contentment and happiness in the good shepherd and his care and his provision for you. And that, as I say, is what this Psalm 23 is all about. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. So let's think now about how a Christian can say with this psalmist, content because my shepherd cares for me. Verse 2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Lying down in green pastures speaks of a flock at rest who are fully fed and satisfied. The still waters bring refreshment and add to the picture of abundance and ample provision. What a tranquil, peaceful picture is being presented to us here. But is it one that is true to life? How can you be lying down in green pastures and enjoying the still waters in a world of sin and chaos and opposition? What about the wolves? What about the pressures and demands of everyday life? What about the trials and hardships that we all face, the sorrows and the heartaches? But this is not some distant, unreachable place, and nor is it a rest to be looked forward to at some future point. This contentment should be the present, everyday experience of sheep being cared for and watched over by the good shepherd. It comes down to whether you are content with the shepherd's care. Despite the wolves prowling around, despite the hardships and the heartaches, are you lying down at peace in green pastures? How can someone do that, you might be thinking? Well, it's only because you know that the good shepherd is there in the field watching over you, caring and providing for all you need. Sheep won't lie down when they're worried, when they haven't been fed, when there's no water. Sheep lie down when they're content with the shepherd's provision for them. And it takes faith to believe that Jesus is there, providing and caring for us. Because to the natural eye, life is anything but green pastures. It's anything but a place of peace and tranquility. But to the eye of faith, even the most distressing situations, even the worst events in life, should not trouble and disturb us, because we are resting under the Good Shepherd's care. We can know peace of mind and contentment within our hearts because the Good Shepherd is always there. Do you doubt the Good Shepherd's care? If we're honest, then we all do from time to time, don't we? We take our eyes off Jesus, we look at the storm itself, and we begin to sink. And that's why we need faith to lie down and entrust ourselves to God's care. We can be reassured that every field that the Good Shepherd takes us into in our lives is a field in which he will abundantly provide and care for you. And what is more, it will be a field in which you will find the still waters, God refreshing us by his grace. There's always that constant source of grace and help to which we can turn and find the help that we need. We all have fears. We all get anxious because none of us have a perfect faith and trust in the Good Shepherd's care. But we can, can't we? All work at increasing our faith. That's what Jesus demands of us, because after all, we have enough difficult circumstances in which to learn to trust and rely on the Good Shepherd, because with every new hardship, with every trial that we encounter, comes a challenge to lie down in God's green pastures, to feed on his word, to be satisfied in his care and his perfect plan for us, and to drink from that still water of God's help and grace. But sometimes we are silly sheep. We get frightened. We get bored. We think the grass is greener on the other side, and far from lying down and being content, we sadly wander off. But even then, our shepherd does not fail us. Verse 3 tells us that we can be content because my shepherd guides me. And he guides me, if we're a Christian, in two ways. First, he restores my soul. He brings me back from my errors and my wanderings. And then secondly, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He sets me on that right course, going in the right direction. So he restores and he redirects. And I don't know about you, but the Good Shepherd is constantly at work in my life doing that. He's constantly having to pick me up and restore me when I go wrong, and put me back on that right path, set me in the right way. And you can imagine and picture the shepherd gently prodding, gently poking at his sheep, saying, "No, don't go that way. That's not the way you should be going. This is the way. Head in this direction. Follow those paths of righteousness." And what is it that brings us contentment as my shepherd guides me through life in this way? Well, it's because his ways, these paths of righteousness, are the best and the most blessed route through life. Now again, it takes faith to appreciate that, because admittedly, to the natural eye, that doesn't seem to be the case. The paths that the Lord God would want us to go down are not the routes to popularity or riches or an easy life, which so many people want to go after. No, they are a route of obedience and service and devotion. But of course, it's the very path that the ideal man himself, the very Son of God, trod for the 33 years that he was in this world. And I see the truth of the fact that those ways are the best and the blessed ways in his life, in that he lived out the law perfectly. There was that supreme love and devotion that he showed to his Father and to his will, alongside that beautiful, practical demonstration of love and care that he showed to those around him, to his neighbours. I see from Christ's example the pleasure that walking in those righteous paths brings to our Heavenly Father. I see the blessing that it brings to those who are around us, the good that it does to other people if we walk in those ways. And I see the blessing and the reward that we experience ourselves if we're walking in those paths, both in terms of our enjoyment and our fellowship and intimacy with God here and now, and of course that ultimate joy that is set before us of heaven itself to be looked forward to at the end of the journey. And following the path of obedience to the law and of imitating our Lord and our Saviour, it saves us from the hurt and the heartache of self-inflicted folly and misery that comes when we wander off and we go our own way and we get ourselves into difficulties and tangled up with the bushes and the thorn bushes and stuck on those ledges that we can't get off. And instead, it brings us that contentment because we are guided into a purposeful and a meaningful way of life. We are living the life that God would have us live if we walk in those paths of righteousness. So are we content because my shepherd guides me? Do we appreciate that through his word he leads us in the best and the most blessed route through life? You can know that he's not going to let you down. He's not going to lead you down some blind alley and get you into difficulty. He's not going to mislead you. And you can know that because this psalm tells us that his honour, his reputation is bound up with this. His honour is at stake. He tells us that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he can be trusted. He will not fail you. We can be content to go in those ways and commit ourselves to the good shepherd's leading and guiding because my shepherd so faithfully, so beautifully guides me through this life, guides me in those paths of righteousness. But this does not mean that life will be easy. The paths of righteousness may take us into some difficult situations. But the good shepherd who leads and guides you to walk in those ways also protects you. And he keeps you from evil. And so as we look at verse 4, even in the darkest, even in the most difficult periods of our lives, we can be content because my shepherd protects me. Death can be a very frightening prospect. It casts its shadow over our lives. It's not something we like to think about or an experience that in and of itself any of us can look forward to in any way. And as a person approaches death, the imagery of walking through a deep, dark, fearful valley is very expressive. When we're faced by death or situations in which we fear for our lives, situations of great danger or distress, then we naturally can be afraid. It may be those last few steps of life as we're about to pass into eternity. Or it may be situations in which we just fear for our lives. People today talk about being in a bad place in their lives. Those valleys, that shadow of death. They may not literally be on their deathbed, but it's a dark period. It's a trying and a terrifying place to be. And many walk through that valley. And all of us literally, unless the Lord comes again, will pass through death itself. But whether it is this bad place during our lives or death at the end of our lives, we must hold on to and we must take comfort from the wonderful truths that we have here, that we can be content because my shepherd protects me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now again, this takes faith. Faith to believe that God is there. Faith to see his loving hand even in those darkest situations. Because naturally, the valley of the shadow of death is a frightening place. And at times we will feel vulnerable. We'll feel vulnerable to attack from other people who see us in our weakness and will try to undermine our faith and cause us to despair. But the Good Shepherd is there. He's there with his rod so that we do not faint at such times. But more often, it will be fears within that we will need protecting from as we reach the valley of the shadow of death. And what a comfort it is to know that this is exactly what the Good Shepherd is doing. And he's doing it, we're told, with his staff and with his rod. In the valley of the shadow of death, attacks from without or fears from within can cause us to freeze, can make us so afraid that we begin to doubt God's love. We doubt his good plan for us. We get so fearful that we don't think we can cope. We don't think we can pass through that situation. And we can be tempted to panic and to run or to lose all sense of perspective and hope. But it's then, right when we need it most, when we have no strength in ourselves, as we don't, it's then that the Good Shepherd comes with a little gentle poke from his rod. And that poke just rouses our faith into action. Maybe it's a verse from Scripture that he just brings to our mind. Maybe it's a promise that we're given at that very moment to cling on to with all of our might. Or a reminder of past deliverances and mercies. Right there, when we need it most, the Good Shepherd is there, just prodding our consciences, just rousing our faith so that we can believe, so that we can be content that even there my shepherd protects me. He does so to calm our fears. He pokes us to revive our faith and bring us hope and peace when otherwise we would despair and not have the strength to carry on and endure and overcome. And the Good Shepherd also has his staff which he uses in another wonderful way. His staff, that long pole with the hook on its end, which he uses to reach out to frightened, freezing sheep who are so paralyzed by fear that he just reaches out and draws them to his side so that they can know that, yes, truly, I am there. I am with you, even in this most difficult of situations. And he uses his rod, his staff, to lead us through those most difficult times, those most treacherous paths where otherwise we might fall away, were it not for the Good Shepherd. Because we can't fall away, because the Good Shepherd is there with his rod and his staff, leading us safely through those worst experiences of our life. Being alone and having no one there who knows and experiences what you are going through adds to the terror and the fear of the valley of the shadow of death. But having a shepherd there with you, lovingly shepherding you through that experience, is the only way that you can say, I will fear no evil. I will be content even there because my shepherd protects me. He protects me from those attacks on my faith from without and those fears that will damage my faith from within. With his rod, he rouses our faith into action, and with his staff, he quells our fears by drawing us close to his side. That's why I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I am lacking for nothing, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Faith can say that because it's content that my shepherd protects me. But thankfully, life is not all difficulties and darkness and distress, because we might say in more normal periods of our lives, we can know happiness and contentment because we see such abundance of my shepherd blessing me. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, we don't have time to look at those verses in detail, but these things speak of the Good Shepherd working for our good and the joy that produces within us. The imagery here, I understand, is taken from the time when the sheep were taken up into the high mountains for summer grazing. And the flat plateaus high up there in the mountain ranges were like tables laden with food. It was a hard and a difficult journey to reach those places, and so it would have been the time of year when the shepherd would have stayed outside with the sheep, with them all day and all night, and so the sheep would have been most dependent on their shepherd at that time. And the shepherd takes us up into high, fertile feeding grounds, giving us his word to eat. And he's constantly checking us over for scratches and spiritual wounds, which when he finds them, he treats them with the oil. He soothes them with his grace that he pours onto us. And at some considerable effort to himself, he'll bring us water to drink if there's no immediate stream there. Not taking the easy option of just bringing a half full bucket of water to us, but bringing a bucket that is overflowing of abundance so that we are able to drink to the full. What a blessing to know that our shepherd is ever watching. He's ever busy working for our good. All our needs are attended to. Not just so that we can get by in life and just about scrape through into heaven, but so that we can abound in faith and we can grow strong as Christians. Our good shepherd loves to do us good because he is pleased when we find our contentment in him. When we do look to him by faith. Nothing pleases the good shepherd more than when he sees that faith in his sheep. And as he sees that faith, as he sees us depending on him, relying on him day by day for what we need, it's then it seems that he blesses us more and more with his word. He takes us deeper into his word so that our faith is increased even more, so that we are blessed even more. That's the good shepherd. Spiritual blessing follows spiritual blessing. When no matter what enemies are prowling around us, we find our happiness and our contentment and our delight and our enjoyment in the good shepherd. And we've every encouragement to do this, because we don't just experience the occasional one-off kind of blessing. But the psalmist goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The overarching blessing that we can rejoice in is that each and every day our good shepherd is caring and guiding and protecting and blessing us so that we can be certain that he will take us safely through this life and be content that he, my shepherd, will bring me safely home. And when David ends his psalm by saying, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, he must be thinking about heaven. Because the earthly house of the Lord, the temple in Jerusalem, was not built during David's time on earth. The Lord was still living in a tent, as it were. And so David, no matter how much he might have been looking forward to that time when God would especially presence himself in the temple in Jerusalem, surely was looking beyond that to the time when he would be with the Good Shepherd forever, for all eternity in heaven, where he would be in the presence of this one who had so faithfully shepherded him through this life. And that's the hope of every true sheep of the Lord. Content because my shepherd will bring me safely home. Home into the eternal sheepfold, where we will be completely secure, completely at peace forever, where crucially we will be with the good shepherd in person. He's promised that he is with us every step of our way through this life. But one day, an even better thing, we will be with him. We will see him face to face. And I'm sure that we will look back over our lives and we will reflect and think about the way that he has cared for us. He has guided us and protected us and blessed us, because this is what God wants us to know. This is what he wants us to see. He wants us to understand the great truth that he is the good shepherd. He hasn't told us that for nothing. He's told us these things because he wants to appreciate that this is the most beautiful description of his character. He's the good shepherd. And so we will spend all eternity looking back. Looking back at this life, sure, we'll be taken up perhaps most of all as we reflect on the way that my shepherd rescues me. We'll look at the cross and we'll see there the supreme demonstration of love and grace that God has ever shown. But two, we will be reflecting back, I'm sure, on the thousands of unseen ways, ways that we don't know at this moment, that my shepherd has guided me and protected me and led me and blessed me in this life. And we'll be learning from that of the character of the Good Shepherd as we see more fully what he is like, the sort of shepherd that he is, who shepherds us through this life. We'll be content with that, content with our Good Shepherd for all eternity. And of course we can begin that now. We can have a greater appreciation. We can grow in our faith as we see the way that our Good Shepherd shepherds us through this life. We can increasingly come to trust and delight in him. Delight in the God who has revealed himself as the Lord, my shepherd. May we be aware of him shepherding us safely through this life, so that here and now we can say with this psalmist, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I am content. I am happy in him, satisfied with his wonderful care and provision for me, and resting and relying on him to bring me safely home.